All right, wall fans, common censors, podcast consumers, welcome to episode 77 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell to the Wall, hosted by me, of course, your absolute favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. And we are back at it after a week off. We took a little bit of a week off there for Mother's Day. I had to spend extra time spend some time with my wife and daughter. And in fact, my wife has a new tradition where she goes and spends a couple hours drinking a little bit of wine and listening to the Monkees with a friend of hers who is also a mother. So basically, I prioritized that last week instead of getting into the studio. But of course, because of that, we got a lot of stuff to get into this week with episode 77. And of course, before we get into any of that, we always kick things off with our social plugs. You can keep up with us during episodes, after episodes, for episodes, whenever you so please, and you can do that in multiple locations. One of those would be facebook.com/gotellittothewall. That's right, facebook.com/gotellittothewall. Of course, YouTube, head on over to youtube.com/gotellittothewall. Just got to remember that /gotellittothewall for those two. That's the most important thing. Make sure you subscribe to our channel and check out all of the great videos that are on there. There are videos, a lot of stuff does get posted to Facebook, but there's a lot of videos that are not on Facebook. So if you're somebody that enjoys the videos, you want to be on YouTube because that's where you're going to get all of the videos. And of course, my own personal Instagram account, which is at SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. Follow me on there for all kinds of great Instagram content. I got some stuff going up there very soon, actually, because we've had a couple shows since the last episode, so new content coming up there. Of course, not all of it related to Go Tell It to the Wall Common Sense Sundays, but it is all related to me personally, Sean O'Rourke. So make sure if you're an Instagram user, you want to be following me over there. And of course, in addition to those things, we have SeanO'RourkeLive.com. And even if you don't remember those websites, really, it's easy if you just look up Go Tell It to the Wall. All that stuff's going to come up. But if you can't remember that stuff, just remember SeanO'RourkeLive.com. That's going to give you links to those social platforms that I just mentioned, as well as access to other exclusive content that is only on SeanO'RourkeLive.com. And of course, you're going to find a link to our Patreon campaign. For those of you not familiar with Patreon, I've been mentioning it a lot, but I haven't really given a little breakdown of it. Patreon is a website that a lot of creators and artists and musicians and whatnot use to connect directly with fans, and you can go on there and you can support, broadcasters, artists, musicians, all that kind of good stuff on there. So go on there, support Common Sense Sundays, and Go Tell It to the Wall. Or if you don't do that, go on there and find an artist that you do want to support, and you can help them out. Every dollar helps, really. If you know anybody that's in the music industry, the art industry, the broadcasting industry, all that, every little bit helps. It's just a matter of getting the word out there and getting people that have the means to support artists on Patreon. And of course, if you don't want to deal with Patreon, you can support us by going on our merch website linked directly from SeanO'RourkeLive.com and pick up some Common Sense Go Tell It to the Wall merch linked right there from the website. It's just takes you to a whole new site, but you got a link directly from there. I don't even keep track of that URL. It's something / Go Tell It to the Wall, whatever our merch company is. Oh, and I just realized I'm gonna do this as we're talking here. I have a checklist here. And here's the problem. I did not plug in my GoPro here, so I'm gonna do it while we're talking. Right as we get into look, you're gonna get the cool little beeps too. No shame here at Go Tell It to the Wall. Especially on Common Sense Sundays, but we got to have these because this is how we get all the little stills and that content, and a bunch more of that should be coming up soon because I've got a bunch of stuff in the can. All right, here we go. All right, now we're good. See, I even have a checklist. It's like right here, and I didn't put the. That's all right. Anyway, now that we've been tangented a little bit off the rails as usual, we don't need rails around here. Let's get in some digital trends. This one, I was disappointed. Really, this was one of the few things I was disappointed we didn't have an episode last week, because apparently last Saturday was hashtag World Naked Gardening Day. You heard that right. World, not just national. We're talking international with this one. World Naked Gardening Day. It's the first Saturday in May every year, so it was last Saturday. I love this idea. I think people should be more free with obvious exceptions. I think a lot of this is dependent on where you live. See, I live in a very urban area. The police would absolutely be called if I'm walking around gardening in my garden completely naked, because their neighbors could simply just look. I mean, remember I talked about a year ago about the young college girls next door watching me work out in my backyard. Imagine if I'm out there just completely with no clothes on. However, if you're in an area where it's, you know, it's a little more, you're not right next to your neighbors, probably a great idea to do it. So you won't catch me doing it, but I love the idea, and apparently it happens every year, and it's a moving date. It's the first Saturday in May every year, so prepare yourselves for next year if you didn't get a chance to participate this year. All right, I'm sure you've seen these in your feeds. Whatever social feed you're on, you've probably seen these, unless you're just on no social media feeds at all. And that would be the oil painting profile pics. There's actually a name for these things. I think it's named after whatever company created this app to make these profile pics. Now, first off, let's unpack this for a sec. There's another example of just beating something to death. You open, you know, most recently, we've had all these slap memes and then the Amber Heard memes. And now, this week, you opened up Facebook or Instagram or any of those, and you're just seeing oil painting profile pics. Everybody's beating that one into the ground. It's fine if that's what you're into. By all means, follow the trend. Do what everyone else is doing. Make sure your profile picture looks exactly the same as everyone else's with this funky oil painting style. But here's why this is important. Whenever I've said this before, whenever something like this blows up and people are utilizing an app or something along those lines, purposefully, I give it a minute because it's about a 50-50 chance that something's going to come out about it. And this is one of those instances. This is actually a Russian company that put together this app, and you actually give them more access to things than you realize within your phone and your profile and everything else. You're giving up ridiculous amounts of access. We all love to click the terms of, or the condition, you know, terms and conditions, blah, blah, blah. You check the box, you're like, move along. The good thing is you don't have to read through those. If you just give things like a day when they become super popular, somebody's going to investigate it and point it out. And that's sure enough what happened with these oil painting things. We found out that you're giving up an astronomical amount of your information simply to have your profile pic look like an oil painting. Now, I don't utilize those parts of Creative Cloud, but I'm fairly certain I can go in Lightroom and just take a photo and make it look like an oil painting. You know, there's stuff that you can turn pictures into vector files. You don't necessarily need an app for this. Well, I mean, and that's an app, but we know Adobe has your pictures anyway. So maybe just think about these things. You're giving up way too much access, much like TikTok, but apparently even worse. And I saw that and I was like, well, I'm glad I didn't start messing with that stuff because that's not for me. I also tend to not follow the trends on social media. It's like once half the people I know on there are doing it, I'm like, well, now it's just overdone. I don't need to do that myself. Speaking of more stuff that's been overdone, I don't even understand where this came from. And the reason is it freaks me out. It's kind of like I think it was Snapchat or something, these funky filters with the funky eyes we were seeing like crazy a couple years ago. And I even talked about it on the podcast. I was like, that's enough. I had to put down my phone at one point. Like, this is too much, too creepy. And now the latest creepy thing outside of the oil paintings, which honestly aren't that creepy. It's just you don't want to be doing it, is this sad crying filter on videos. And I'm sure you've seen this where someone can just be talking normal. They're not actually like sad, but the video distorts their face to make it look like they're crying and sad. Super creepy. Honestly, people have been loving it. I see so many people post, this is the greatest filter ever. It's like, how is that the greatest filter ever? That is completely creepy. I have no interest in using it. I'm sure somebody's going to take video, one of the video feeds and make me look like I'm crying through the whole thing. If you have to do that, you have to do it. But I'm not going to do it. And I'm really getting tired of seeing those on social media. It's like, why? What is the point of this? Why are we making people look like they're sad and crying? This is another one where I'm regretting saying, stop with the funky eyes. Because this is so much worse than the weird eyes and the cat ears and all that other stuff that was going on with Snapchat or whatever it was a couple years ago. I think we finally got over that. And now we can make everyone look like they're bawling. I just don't get it. What is the point? Why do you want to make people look sad? Like, people are sad enough as it is, for the love of God. Don't make it worse. More creepy stuff. The funny thing with this trend that's happening right now is these Matt Damon puppet memes, and I'm sure you've also seen these. I was very confused because I kept seeing these this Matt Damon puppet pop up, and I was like, that looks like the Team America thing that the, you know, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, or Matt Stone and Trey Parker, whatever. They are a combination of those four names. I just confused their last names. The South Park guys, they made this movie years ago, and the uproar back then was puppets having sex. Like, look how far we've come since then. You know, we're showing rape scenes in Thrones on HBO. But, oh, God, the puppets having sex. So I was very confused. I actually had to look this one up, which is something I don't usually do. I don't investigate these things because I don't care enough. It's just like, that's creepy. Why are we doing this? Knock it off. Apparently, and looking back, because it's been a long time since I've seen the movie. I didn't see it in theaters, but I've seen the Team America movie. And looking back, I was like, oh, yeah. That puppet does look like Matt Damon. It's not actually Matt Damon. It was completely coincidental that they created this film and had a puppet that looked like just like Matt Damon. And here we are 15 years later or whatever, maybe whatever year, Team America. That's been a long time. Here we are like 15 years later and people are just now realizing it. And they're creating all these memes with a super creepy looking Matt Damon. I can deal with these a little bit more than the crying video filter, but okay, we get it. It's a puppet that looks like Matt Damon. Again, we just beat all of these things to death. The other funny thing is I realized how many memes there are with like Matt Damon. Because I was like, oh, the Matt Damon meme. And there's a whole bunch of stuff comes up. Like, not that. No. This was also happening with something else I looked up. When we get the positive news, you'll see where I'm going with that one. So hopefully that one fades off a little. All those puppets in that movie were kind of creepy to begin with. Like, intentionally and unintentionally creepy. They're not like scary movie creepy. They're just kind of like, whoa, that's a marionette that's made to look like a real person. Not often are marionettes made to look like an actual person. They're clowns and stuff like that. I am no expert, but I do have Bob Baker Theater in my neighborhood. I've been to a few of those classic marionette shows, and I can attest to that. They don't really look like the Team America things. All right, one more here. Hashtag Tucker Terrorist. Hashtag Tucker Terrorist. It speaks for itself. I think this hashtag could be relevant at any time throughout the year. This is, of course, referring to Tucker Carlson, the Fox News personality, in finger quotes there. He really comes across as an actor, and how could anyone be that hateful and that stupid? But here we are. Hashtag Tucker Terrorist. We're going to talk more about that later, because you probably know what it's coming from. It's something that just occurred yesterday. Yeah, just yesterday. More mass shootings in this country. Can't even keep up with them for the podcast. Outlining today's show, and then one happens in Orange County, not close, but not far from me, you know, in Southern California. It's just like, what are we doing here, people? But before we get into that, because I want to talk about that in relation to mental health and mental illness, before we get there, I want to talk about some COVID updates. This one is definitely bittersweet. I realized a couple weeks ago, it might have even been around our last show, our last episode, that we have been doing Common Sense Sundays for 2 years now. Two. And the reason I bring that up in COVID updates, is the reason we started Common Sense Sundays is because of COVID. And what happened was I had to give up this beautiful studio here to my wife, who was, like most people around the country, around the world, was forced to work from home. So instead of our normal Thursday schedule, we shifted everything to Sundays, created a somewhat new format, not completely new, but slightly different, because of COVID. This is extra fun. Once again, I think we had this for the last episode. I got kids running around my house. I got a dog running around. I got my brother-in-law. It's like everybody's running around my house right now. Let me go in the studio. I got to record. But that's the bittersweetness of it. 2 years, and we're still here. And we didn't even start Common Sense Sundays at the very beginning of COVID. We took a hiatus for the podcast. Everything was going crazy. And after a couple months, because, you know, really COVID hit March, and we're looking at May here, essentially. So like 2 months off and then getting into Common Sense Sundays. And here we still are 2 years later, still doing Common Sense Sundays. Now, obviously, we've had some regular format episodes come in there, especially around the holidays and other times when we've been able to do like our original format. But still, the main one is Common Sense Sundays. And here we are still in COVID. And it's while it's better and we're not necessarily completely locked down, it's not completely better. And we're still seeing rises in cases. In fact, the United States passed 1 million deaths this past week due to COVID in this country. And we all know that's underreported. There are other deaths, I'm sure, that weren't reported as COVID deaths. You want to argue about that? Whatever. We know for a fact that states were underreporting COVID deaths. So if states are underreporting, that's not getting added to the national tally of everything. So it's more likely higher, much higher than we're actually seeing. And it's not over yet. And we're still getting hit by new variants. In fact, I have multiple friends with it now. Multiple. Friends that I know here in Southern California that I know personally, that I know personally in other states, and friends that I know just from social media and everything else. It's out there. Tons. I'm seeing it almost every day. I open up a social platform, and I'm seeing someone that I know who has a positive COVID test. Absolutely. And then on top of that, we're still seeing bands having to cancel shows and postpone and cancel shows because of COVID. And in fact, we'll get into a full recap of that, but I had the pleasure of seeing Circle Jerks and Bouncing Souls this past Wednesday. They had a show a week ago on Sunday in Morro Bay. They had to cancel the entire show because somebody within Bouncing Souls had a positive COVID test. Fortunately, they were all safe, ended up being healthy enough, and then were able to hit the stage again on Wednesday. Fortunately for me, because I was really looking forward to seeing them. But we're by no means done with it. Catbite has had to deal with it recently. The Venomous Pinks, they had to cancel an entire tour, which was really a big tour for them, because of positive cases. So continue to wear those masks at shows. For the love of God, continue to wear the masks at shows. And we're all guilty of it. I you know, sometimes when you're up there and you're singing, just be respectful to bands. Because if you want them to keep playing and keep touring and keep making money so they can keep making music for you, you don't want this to continue happening to bands. 2 years that we're dealing with this. Bands are finally coming out of it, and then they're getting hit with it as they go out on tour and they play shows. So just be respectful of that. All right. So I want to talk about mental health here for a minute. And this is something we've discussed on the show at least once or twice before, but it comes up right away. Tragically, we had another mass shooting in this country, this one occurring in Buffalo, New York, happened yesterday. A young guy, I think they're saying he's 18, young white guy, goes into a supermarket, kills 10 people walking around with, you know, and I don't get into specs on this, but one of those guns that I have said since the beginning of the show and since before I ever did any kind of podcast, that should not be allowed in the hands of just civilians in the public. These are military weapons. You know, maybe a police department needs like two of them locked in wherever they keep all the weapons in case something crazy does happen. But no civilian needs to be walking around with these kind of guns. And here we have an instance where a young man has killed 10 people. 10 people of color, African-Americans, in a predominantly African-American neighborhood. He drove there, doesn't even live in that neighborhood, with the purpose of shooting people of color. And I haven't read his entire manifesto or anything, but we're getting word that he has echoed talking points from Tucker Carlson. Mainly white supremacist talking points. White superiority. And there's another term that I didn't write down. And we're they're talking about how white people are not exterminated, but are being just, there's less and less white people. And there's a word for it they're using now. And all these white people are afraid. I'll tell you, white people are wild, man. I realize I'm one of them, but good God, like, it's just amazing to me. It's like people that I've run into that don't believe racism. So they, oh, we haven't had racism in this country in hundreds of years. Like, wait, what? Like, that's black and white. That's not a gray area, man. You know, maybe you could say certain things have gotten better, but no, that's not how it works. Well, now, of course, with this, as we get every time, and especially from the right side of politics, what's the first thing that comes out? Well, it must have been a mental illness thing. Whenever it's a white guy, that's how white people just be crazy. You know, if it's a Middle Eastern, terrorism. It's a person of color, terrorism. Like any, it's a white dude. Oh, he's got a mental illness. This clearly has some mental illness problems. Here's what drives me nuts about that, and that's why I'm talking about this within mental health and not within common sense, because it is also common sense. Everything we talk about throughout these episodes is common sense. But the problem here is they come out with that talking point right away. Right away. And I'm not going to sit here and guarantee that this guy had no mental illness, no mental health problems. However, we know from the videos that he had posted, the live streaming of him shooting people, as well as the manifesto that has come out, he's quite coherent. This is not it's not schizophrenia or anything like that. Quite coherent. So the chances of, and 9.5 times out of 10, I did this previously on an episode. If you look at the statistics, it very, very, very rarely is due to mental illness. And the reason that's so disgusting is because what happens is you increase the stigma instead of stopping the stigma or lessening the stigma by any means. To the point where you have people out there, they listen to these talking heads on Fox News, they read these manifestos and stuff, and then they automatically have a grudge against anybody with a mental health issue, with a mental illness. That's what you're doing. You're increasing the chances of violence toward people that speak openly about their mental illness. And then what is the next step of that? People don't want to talk about their mental illness. They don't want to get help because that's what they see on television. They see it vilified. This is a fact. There's plenty of people out there. There's plenty of stories out there where people are afraid to open up because of stuff like this. So this absolutely needs to stop. We can't just jump to mental illness right away. That can't be the first thing. What we can jump to is terrorism right away. You don't have to be Middle Eastern or a person of color or a minority to be a terrorist. Simple as that. You can be a white dude, white woman, white person, and still be a terrorist. And that's what we're looking at here. And echoing Tucker Carlson's talking points. That's why the hashtag Tucker Terrorist. He's indoctrinating youth. 18-year-old kid. Who's afraid of people of color because that's what he's being told. That's not mental illness. That is what the Republican side has been throwing around like crazy. You know what that is? That is grooming. That is fucking grooming. All these goddamn politicians and their family fucking pictures with these huge machine guns and all this shit. That's fucking grooming. Disney's not grooming anybody. What are they grooming people to be nice? Shit, I got Disney Plus. I watch it with my kid once in a while. Mickey and Minnie and stuff, they're just teaching kids manners. And then we have a side, they're the ones sitting there going, grooming, oh, you're creating gay kids and transgender kids and all this stuff. It's like, you're creating fucking murderers. And on top of that, you're destroying years of progress when it comes to mental illness and mental health. Because you just throw that term around. And that's utter bullshit. And that's why we talk about this. That's why I am as open as possible about it. And I encourage other people to be as open as possible about it. Because there is help out there. Don't let this discourage you. There are plenty of people in this country and around the world that realize having mental illness does not make you a mass murderer. Like I said, small percentage of those mass shootings are actually people with a mental illness. Keep that in mind, Wall fans. And end the goddamn stigma. I can't anymore. Every time, it was mental illness. What? No. It's a racist, dumb shit. That's what it is. It's not mental illness. It's crazy white people. All of them. Crazy. Not all of them. I'm a white person. I mean, I'm crazy, but you get what I'm saying. Just utterly astounding to me. And we're just going to continue letting that Tucker asshole talk. You can't sue him or anything because technically they say, oh, no, it's not actually news. It's not fact reporting. People should know that. Well, they don't because people are stupid. It's what it is. All right, let's move on to some positive news. This is what I was talking about earlier. When I was Googling the Matt Damon, I couldn't remember the name of the person involved in this story. I remember the name of the place. And this is specifically a bar in Portland called the Sports Bra Bar. Sports Bra. So I remembered that, and I just Googled Sports Bra, and I was like, oh, yeah, what was that? That's, oh, come up with the story. No, I kind of. Got a bunch of ads for, like, you know, shopping for a sports bra. And I went, oh, yeah, duh. So I had a sports bra. And I remembered it was in Portland. And I was like, okay, Sports Bra Bar, Portland. There we go. I found it. But those are things that happen. I swear years ago, I used to have to look up a lot of things when I was in marketing at Disney. And so I'd be researching, like, Girl Scouts USA, you know, because I'd be working on a marketing program involving them for, you know, for our ad sales team. I'm constantly looking up stuff, and I'm just like, oh my God, what does the FBI think? I'm just looking for like kids stuff. And I was, but I was doing it because I worked for Disney, not because it was for me. This, my favorite is there's a museum in the Midwest called Touch Kids Museum. It's like Touch Kids. And it's because the kids can go in and touch things, but it's like, how many creepy pedophiles do you think showing up there? Oh, I can touch. I doubt they are, but like we can do some better naming there. Touch Kids Museum. All right. Anyway, so you get tangented there, a little off the rails as usual. So there's this sports bar in Portland called the Sports Bra. It's a new bar that was opened up by Jenny Nguyen. I don't know what it is. I have a block on pronouncing that name. And I always worry I'm pronouncing it wrong. The cool thing about this bar is, and there's a story how Jenny had gone with some friends to a sports bar with the intention of watching, I think it was one of the women's college basketball games. They didn't have it on any TVs. They got like 100 TVs in this place. I'm exaggerating, of course, but tons of TVs. Oh, can we get it on? They put it on the TV in the corner with like no sound. Not an enjoyable experience. And huge marquee game. It's not like they're like, oh, we want to watch, you know, this random game that's kind of meaningless on a win. No, huge game. And don't quote me, I believe it was women's college basketball. Like a UConn, like the national championship, something like that. So Jenny took that and was like, no. There is a market for women's sports. And I can attest to this. The WNBA doesn't do as well as the NBA here in Los Angeles, but it does quite well. There's a brand new women's soccer team here in Los Angeles with a new women's soccer league. They've been doing extremely well so far. There's absolutely a market for this. My daughter, in fact, sometimes, you know, I'll go turn on basketball, and right now it's, the women's basketball season just started, but she will often say, oh, can we watch women's basketball? Can we watch, and like the other day, a week or two ago, do they have women's hockey? I was like, yes, absolutely. You can play hockey when you get a little older. You're a little young for hockey right now, but you can play hockey. So I love this idea. Absolutely. I mean, we shouldn't be at a point where we have to have a separate bar, but good on you, Jenny Nguyen, for doing this, because there is a demand for it. And like I said, especially as a father to a daughter, she wants to see women's sports. She enjoys watching the men's sports, but she's asks for it at five. She's 5 years old. She knows it's played, and she hasn't really seen any women's hockey on TV, so she didn't. That's why she said, is there women's hockey? Yeah. She's seen women's basketball. Some other stuff, you know, we've watched women's soccer. So I absolutely see the market for this, and I hope other places kind of pick up on this and either feature more women's sports at their sports bar or even other places where there's a big fandom for those sports. Because, and especially for those of you not familiar with kind of the sports bar atmosphere, and this is really big for soccer here in Los Angeles, because you end up watching international matches. There's a huge soccer fandom here, and certain bars will be, you know, like the Manchester United bar. I'm so bad with soccer teams, or you know, like there's a Chelsea team, or the Spanish, specifically for those. And even with college football, I used to go to a bar, Soups in the Valley, and it wasn't officially a Longhorns bar, but I went there. If the Longhorns were playing on a Saturday, you went there, and there was at least like a half a dozen people that were there to watch the Longhorn game. So you go there and you find your own community. So a bar that is playing women's sports, you're going to end up finding people that are there to watch the women's sports, and you build a community off of that. So this is a fantastic idea. Good on you. Love it. The Sports Bra in Portland. And thanks, Jenny, for creating this. I'd be curious to follow it and see, you know, how much demand is being met and how much demand there actually is. But I know for a fact, just from talking to people, that there is demand for it. We were just talking about the new women's soccer team last Saturday. We were having a couple drinks before the Bite and Bambi show, and people were like, oh, yeah, I want to get out there and check out a game. Like, heck yeah. All right, let's get into some parenting. My house right now. I told you a few minutes ago when you probably heard a little ambient noise back there. My house is a little crazy right now. Got a five-year-old running around. Got a dog running around. It's just madness. We're still adjusting a little bit. And I found this interesting, and this is parenting and kind of pet parenting. The rescue that we got our dog from, Falcor, there's kind of this 3-3-3 thing. And so it takes them 3 days to start adjusting to a new home, 3 weeks to like really adjust, and 3 months to be like fully settled. So we're in this, we're finishing up the 3 weeks here since we've gotten the dog. And great dog. But teaching a 5-year-old how to deal with a dog, forget about it. I don't think he wants to wear a hat right now. No, he does not want to dance with you right now. Like, all these kind of things are happening in my house. Like, stop running into the dog with your bike. Like, good Lord. And she's learning. It's just a matter of, and see, I'm spoiled. Cause my 5-year-old had a dog technically but for like the first 4 months of her life, she does not remember that dog well. So then was not around a dog. For me, I don't think about it because I was just around dogs, you know, where I was born, we had dogs. Those dogs passed because they were a little older when I was born. We got another dog and that dog passed and we went like a few months without a dog. But by then I'm like 12, you know, and so I knew how to deal with dogs. And so you train the dog, you train the kid too. It's kind of this multi-factor thing. And I got to tell you, the dog is patient as hell. Because sometimes I look over and I'm like, how is he putting up with this? She's like dressing him up. And it's like, good Lord. The patience from that dog. He's basically a saint in my house. Here's a little tip for everyone actually too. We had movie night in my house last night. It's something we try to do every weekend. But sometimes, you know, craziness. My wife and daughter had movie night at Street Food Cinema. Down there in LA Historic Park while I was out at Bite Me Bambi last Saturday. So, you know, a little movie night there. But my wife's always looking for new movies, which I get, you know. She'll like kind of like to go find a random but highly rated thing. And so last night she goes, okay, there's this thing called My Neighbor Totoro. It's actually an anime film, and she had seen on some of her mom websites that kids are loving it. It's great, nothing scary, you know. Which always, I'm always like, it's an anime. And not to say it's scary, but nothing against it. I love the genre. I literally took anime classes in film school. But some stuff can be creepy, you know, and I'll tell you. But it doesn't affect the kids. My Neighbor Totoro, I was like, that's a little creepy, but it was fine. And she really enjoyed it. And for those of you not familiar with it, it's actually a 1988 anime film, which I didn't even know about, in my extensive anime study in film school. It wasn't extensive, but was not one that was on the radar, 1988. But apparently it has gained some steam, and it was the first anime for my kid. So I recommend if you're looking for something for your kid, very wholesome, nothing scary, nothing's going to give them nightmares or anything like that, so check that one out. I believe we had to watch it on HBO Max, but it's probably available on some other streaming platforms as well. And she seemed to enjoy it. Recommend it for multiple parents, and I can throw my recommendation behind it that it's totally safe for the kiddos. So you never know. There's like random scenes within certain movies, and you're like, good Lord. And that's what. So, like, the dog's name is Falcor. And everyone, has Zoe seen Neverending Story? Nope. I saw it when I was her age. But that was the 80s. And that's my favorite meme that I've seen out there is like, you know, the kids asked me today if we had scary things when I was a kid. And it's like a meme from the 80s and it has like McDonald's characters and something else. And it's like, we had everything scary in the 80s. It really did. Like Neverending Story and Labyrinth, those are kind of creepy. I watched them like crazy as a kid. So, you know, she'll get around to watching that. But you never know. There could be those made for kids. Neverending Story made for kids. Dark Crystal made for kids. Those were creepy ass creatures when I was a kid, man. All right. Depending on the age of your kids, and I talked a little bit about these poppet spinner things, I think last episode that my kid's obsessed with, these fidget toys. I get the appeal. I actually have a funky little one that my wife got me a few years ago, and it helped a lot with not smoking real cigarettes because I'd be playing with this thing. But it's not a spinner thing. It's just like I don't even know what the hell it is. But you kind of, you know, flick it through your fingers, and it's also not loud. The loud things are what gets me. And there's these new things. If you're a parent, you might have seen them. It's basically a tube. And you know a flexi straw, how it has that like in between. It's basically a big tube, probably like an inch in diameter, like that. Except the whole thing's flexi. And so what the kids do is they pull it out and it goes, rah! Push it back in. And the thing's loud as hell. And let me tell you, if you're sitting on the couch like doing something and your kid's playing and suddenly they get behind you and they rip that thing open, you're going to jump, man. It's ridiculous. The other thing is my wife saw it fit to teach my kid that she can swing it around and then it'll catch the air and make a whistling sound. Well, now she's walking around the house swinging a thing everywhere and knocking shit over. Like, come on, what are we doing with these things? The extra funny thing is my kid got one months ago, and she comes home with this thing. I was like, what is this? Where'd you get it? She's like, oh, I found it on the playground at lunch. And I was like, okay. I genuinely thought it was like trash or a piece for something else. And then we've been to a couple of kids' birthday parties, and they're giving these things out. And she got some for Easter, like in an Easter egg hunt. I'm like, great. Now we got multiple of these things in the house, and they are just obnoxious as hell. It's worse than a whistle because the noise is so jarring. It's worse than a whistle. We got to calm down with these damn fidget things. I know the kids love them, but the damn thing gives me a heart attack every time. Like, I'm wearing the appropriate shirt for talking about that. I got my Let Me Down shirt on today with the heart logo on the front there. It's giving me a heart attack every time I hear these things. It's like, oh my God. And dog doesn't like it either. That's the thing. Dogs are very sensitive to noises, if you're not aware of that. All right, let me get a sip of my water out of my Go Tell to the Wall mug here, because we got to get into some common sense. Well, you all know this, and I know you're on a certain side of this, because if you're listening to this podcast, you're going to be on the correct side of things. The Supreme Court. I've had zero faith in the Supreme Court for a long, long time. It's just getting worse and worse. And you've all seen this memo that leaked out, how they're essentially talking about overturning Roe versus Wade. I'm not going to get into Roe versus Wade. And if you don't know what it is, I encourage you to Google it and talk about it. But it's essentially women's rights. I don't even want to talk about abortion rights. I want to talk about women's health rights. Because that's what we're looking at here. It's something that's been a precedent since before my lifetime. And in fact, we had Supreme Court justices who were being interviewed to be confirmed to the Supreme Court who stated that that is law and would not be changed. And now we're seeing that that was, in fact, a lie. And we all saw this coming. We knew this was coming. It's absolute bullshit. The thing that really pisses me off about it is if you look at all the polls, talk to most people, it is an overwhelming majority of people in this country that are in favor of Roe versus Wade. They are in favor of women's health rights and their right to choose what happens with their own body. What we do have, though, in addition to that, is a minority of people sitting on this court that has ridiculous power, that is pushing a religious agenda onto a country that, for the most part, does not want. Here's the thing. You don't like abortions? You don't have to get one. And the other thing, which we often talk about on this podcast, is the hypocrisy. The same people that have spent the past 2 years running around saying, my body, my choice, you can't make me wear a mask, you can't make me get a vaccine. Those are the same people that are now saying, nope, you can't choose. You don't have autonomy over your body as a woman. You see how ridiculous that is? If nothing else, we don't even have to talk about just human rights in general. If nothing else, let's just look at that hypocrisy right there. On top of that, the outrage over the leak itself is astounding. This is the Supreme Court, if you've heard quotes from them, they say, we're going to get to the bottom of whoever leaked this and blah, 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 blah. They're more worried about the leak than the fact that they are trying to take away the rights of women in this country. And then they have the balls, to complain that people are protesting outside their homes. So you're mad that someone's outside your home, but you're trying to get right up into literally inside a woman. You're trying to police the insides of a woman. Oh, God. Oh, but these people, they're outside my house. Give me a fucking break. It's amazing what this country's come to. And I'll tell you, years ago, I just watched Handmaid's Tale, like the first season or most of the first season, whatever it was. And I hit a point where I was like, I can't watch this anymore. This is too scary. I wasn't wrong, because that's what we're dealing with right now. And thank God for California. I mean, I already knew it, but I'm never leaving California. States have been doing this already over the past year or so, and even more. Now they're doing it at a federal level. Absolutely amazing to me. Common sense says we don't put up with this hypocrisy, and common sense says women have rights to their own bodies and their own health. And again, you don't like abortions? Don't get one. Simple as that. Oh, man. If you live in Los Angeles, and I think this is within Los Angeles County, this happened yesterday. Now, luckily, it wasn't super early in the morning. I was awake, and my phone was actually in my bedroom, and I'm standing in the kitchen. I'm going, my phone's making the emergency alert sound, and I go back, and it's basically, if you haven't heard of this, it was a message from the fire department to evacuate Chevy Chase Canyon, which is it's a canyon in a neighborhood here in Los Angeles, part of Glendale, which is kind of, it's actually not far from me, which was funny because people that are like 40 miles away were getting this notification. They're like, where? I guarantee like the Google for Chevy Chase Canyon was going crazy. Me, I knew where, I was like, okay. And then I went, oh, shoot, is this actually, and literally I walked outside. I'm like, is there a fire over in that direction? Can I see some smoke? Like, what's going on here? Nothing. So then, of course, I get on Twitter. Oh, Twitter's going to solve this mystery. And well, it did. Just go on there, and it's like, nope, this wasn't supposed to go to all of Los Angeles County. It was only supposed to go to Glendale residents. Oh, and on top of that, here's the kicker. It was only a drill. So I see this, and sure enough, 5 minutes after I find that on Twitter, this is the greatest thing, too. There wasn't like a text message or anything. If you've ever heard the emergency alert on your phone, which people complain about it. I love it. If it's an Amber Alert, wake me up. Or if there's an actual fire near my house, wake me up. I want to know. But it can be very jarring. And sure enough, like 5 minutes after I find that on Twitter, my phone starts going crazy again. I'm like, what's going on now? And I look. They're like, oh, please disregard that last message. Like, so you're sending me into a panic again to disregard the panic message that you first sent. And it's a drill. Wait, what? That's not how this works. I'm thinking of that Progressive commercial with the old ladies. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. And there was a tweet, too, where they were like, oh, no, we sent out a tweet saying there was a drill coming. Yeah, because all of us follow Glendale Fire Department on Twitter. Like, dude, I don't live in Glendale. I mean, I don't even follow Los Angeles Fire Department. Why am I going to be following Glendale Fire Department? Like, the second alert. And everyone's like, what the hell? It was a tech error. Like, come on. Can we do better than this? We're basically just setting it up for the robots. We can't even control the alerts that go out. So when the robots take over, it's just going to be easier. Good Lord. But of course, people fall for these things, you know? Speaking of people falling for things, there is currently, and be aware of this, I assume if you listen to this show, you're likely not going to fall for this one. But there's people out there that are impersonating Keanu Reeves. Yeah, you know, that Keanu Reeves. Whoa. That Keanu Reeves. The really famous one. That we all kind of know, at least moderately, whether you've seen his movies or not. So there's people impersonating Keanu Reeves. And what's happening is these women are getting messages on social platforms from Keanu Reeves trying to initiate a romantic relationship. Well, you know where this is going. Sure enough, after they start talking about him and he says all nice things about them or whatever, then Keanu, in finger quotes, then asks for money. Because of course. So that he can finish his independent film. Now, maybe Keanu Reeves does like to look for partners on social media. I would guess not. But maybe he does. So I'll give you that to an extent. Once he asks for money, all you need to know, the actual Keanu Reeves, he's worth about $380 million. Probably not in dire need to ask random people for money to finish his independent film. Common sense. But there's people out there that do fall for this. And I don't even want to speak bad on people that are falling for it, but just be smart about who you're communicating with on social platforms. I get messages all the time, and I'm just like, hi, no, I need to, don't send me a link or like a little wave or like, hi, yes, hi. If you want to say hi, you know, like I get those too. Be like, hey, man, it's good to meet you on social love what you do. And I'm like, hey, right back at you, you know, but don't, like, I don't even respond to those random ones. And everyone's like, check out my, what do they call? OnlyFans. I'm like, I'm good, thanks. have a nice day. Like, you follow me, that's cool, but no, I'm not getting on your OnlyFans or any of this other stuff. Ugh. Oh, crypto. Cryptocurrency and NFTs, actually. That's all coming to a head right now. Crypto has been crashing. Some of it's just completely losing value. These companies are just going down the drain, essentially. So we're seeing that because it's really a pyramid scheme. So once everyone catches up with it, it's going to fall apart because that's what happens with pyramid schemes. They don't work. Usually there's a couple people at the top that made some money and they got the hell out of it before they lost all their money. Well, here's the problem is now people that thought it was a good investment a few years ago have lost their life savings or are in the process of losing their life savings because a bunch of loudmouth people were walking around saying, crypto, crypto, crypto. What's crypto? It's just, you gotta get crypto. Have some crypto. Okay, well, I'm going to buy the crypto because look, it's worth so much money. That's right. It's worth so much money. You got to have the crypto. 2 years later, no money. Because the pyramid scheme. If people aren't buying crypto, nobody's making money off crypto. It's simple as that. And there's no actual product there. It's all fake. Now, we can argue about how money is fake. And yes, to an extent it is. But even when you talk about the stock market, like stockholders, the company's still creating a product. Crypto, there's nothing there. And then we have NFTs. You could say, yes, well, that's a product. Well, from the very beginning, I was, well, just right-click, and, you know, copy image, save image. It's not that difficult. And fine. You want to try to explain NFTs to me? I'm not going to hear it. Do your NFTs. But I believe it was one of those stupid monkeys that sold. It sold for tons, like $20,000 or something ridiculous, or even $100,000, something like that. One of those things. Sold for like $100 the other day. Yikes. So that investment didn't work. I mean, at least with like stupid things like Beanie Babies in the 90s, you still had Beanie. You still had a thing. You know? Like, come on now. And that was my other favorite thing that I want to point out from a common sense standpoint to everyone out there listening that might not be aware of this. Most of you probably are aware of it. Because when the crypto started crashing like earlier this week, and it's been going down for a while, but then we have the basketball arena here in Los Angeles, it's the Crypto.com arena. It used to be a Staples Center or Crypto.com Center. I think it's arena now. They interchange those words. And so everyone's like, oh, has anyone checked on Crypto.com arena right now? And there was all these jokes of like, no, it's completely closed. Spirit Halloween stores took it over and all this other stuff. That's not how this works. Crypto.com doesn't own the arena. Okay. It's not how it works. Mercedes-Benz doesn't own that massive football structure down there in Atlanta. SoFi, the loan company, doesn't own the massive stadium here in Los Angeles where the Rams and Chargers play. No, what we have is it is a naming rights deal. So Crypto.com pays the owner who actually owns and they don't operate the arena. They just simply pay to have their name on the arena and around the arena, and have it known as Crypto.com Arena, SoFi Stadium, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, AT&T Stadium down there in Dallas. It's only naming rights. If you weren't aware of that, none of those companies own the stadiums. It's not how it works. Kia did not buy the Forum. They simply bought the naming rights for the Forum so they can have their name on there. So the crypto crash is not actually going to affect the basketball arena itself. It may, of course, affect the naming rights that are currently on it, because if Crypto.com doesn't have any money, then they can't pay the naming rights for the arena. That being said, I'm not completely familiar with how those deals work. I know it was quite a large deal, and that's why they basically outbid Staples for it. And maybe all that money's paid up front, and so it doesn't matter. But I think AEG, I can't remember who owns it. AEG owned the arena at one time. I don't think AEG is going to be handing you a refund here if you did pay up front. And if not, there's plenty of people in line, companies in line to have their name on an arena. And then that's my other favorite, too. Well, how could you let a pyramid scheme have their name on an arena? Yeah, I don't know if it's still called that, but that basketball arena down there in Orlando, yeah, that was the Amway Center. Might still be, but it was the Amway Center. Not that long ago. All right, entertainment news. Oh, boy, we're getting just about done here. I had to go grill. I got to go grill for the family today after I finish up in here. And some burgers and brats on that grill, or maybe just burgers. I don't know. Let's see what we got going on. All right, some entertainment news. This is one of my favorite things that I just found within the past 2 weeks. For those of you that are Lego fans and or Muppet fans, yes, if you're watching the video, that is Animal right there. You're not seeing all of the other Muppet stuff that's out of frame there, or all the other Muppet stuff that's back there, which is where a few of what I'm going to tell you about are. So Lego, they do these minifigures. We've all seen them. They've been around since before I was a kid or when I was a kid. You know, they've gotten much more intricate. And so they do these Lego minifigure sets. And a lot of them come in blind bags. For those of you not familiar with blind bags, like think about buying, you know, sports cards or comic cards bag. You bought a pack of cards. You don't know what cards are in there. So you buy this bag and you don't know exactly which figure's in there. But they have created 12 Muppets Lego minifigures. They're hard to find some of the single packs, but if you see them at stores, pick them up. But here's the thing. You know I'm going to end up with all 12 of these things. If it's Muppets, I love it. Throw in a little Lego, which was something I loved as a kid and still do. They got Lego sets sitting back here that I've built. I'm all over it. So check those out if you're into Lego and you're into Muppets. I'm getting as many of them as I can. Hopefully going to have a full set before they're impossible to get. The good thing is I've gotten most of them. I think I only need a couple. So I'm hoping I won't have to. But if I have to and I'm down to just getting one, I'm going to cheat and spend a little more on eBay and just, all right, complete my collection here. All right, I mentioned this on the last episode, but since then it has actually dropped last Friday, not this past Friday, but the Friday before, we got a drop from the amazing band The Drowns out of Seattle. Their new EP, Lunatics, dropped, and I'd mentioned I'd heard a couple songs off of there, and it's fantastic. The entire EP is fantastic. I cannot recommend them enough. If you are not listening to The Drowns, you're missing out, especially if you're not listening to the newest EP, Lunatics. They knocked it out of the park yet again. Love those guys so much. Rev and Andy, I know them through socials and meeting in person a couple times, and they just put out amazing music all the time. And I will say, the whole thing, Lunatics, great track. The two tracks that they put out kind of on a separate EP, but along with Lunatics, fantastic. But I will say there's a track... Look What We've Become gives you all the feels, like range of emotions, and it is quite the amazing ballad. So make sure you're checking that out. And they're touring in June along the West Coast, and I think to Arizona, like Nevada. But if you're in Southern California, they are playing over a weekend. They're playing Alex's in Long Beach. They're playing a venue in San Diego. Can't remember which it is. And then they're playing like Downtown Billiards or Backstage. There's a place downtown. A billiards place that's also a venue I haven't been to yet, but I will be at Alex's and at that venue, of course. It's like June 10th and 12th or something like that, like beginning of June. So if you're looking to catch The Drowns or you want to catch up with me in person out at a show, I'll be out in Long Beach on that Friday and then downtown on that Sunday. So get your Drowns fix on. All right, Bite Me Bambi. Had the pleasure of seeing them last Saturday. I can't say enough about Bite Me Bambi. Such high energy. Everyone in that band is just great. I consider a lot of them friends at this point. Had the opportunity to hang out after their set on Saturday. Not a big fan of the 1702 venue or something in LA. I was like driving there. And I have no problem. It wasn't because a lot of people are like, oh, there's houseless people. I'm like, that doesn't bother me. You're just like in this weird business district. And like, am I in the right place? Oh, okay, there is a venue here, all right, and inside's great, but you just, and no parking, it's just a funky venue. But Bite Me Bambi put on a fantastic show. They have some limited edition vinyl that is almost sold out. By the time you're listening to this, there's a good chance that you won't be able to get it anymore, but go on bitemebambi.com and check out their new vinyl. I was right at the rail with a lot of the Bambinos, as we call ourselves, which is a bit of a fan crew for Bite Me Bambi, formed, I don't want to say formed, but we keep in touch through that good old Discord there, and just had a blast dancing, going crazy, and like I said, can't recommend their new tracks enough, with featuring the legendary Lee Scratch Perry, the late legendary Lee Scratch Perry, so check those out. New music that came out like right before they played those. They played a series of three shows there, Los Angeles, San Diego, and Riverside. I was just at the Los Angeles one. But like I said, I cannot say enough good things about Bite Me Bambi. My kid loves them. My wife loves them. They put on a great show. So that's another one. If you're not listening to Bite Me Bambi or catching them live, you are missing out. And the Summer Sizzler is going to be coming up in August. That's going to be a fun one. That's gonna, I'm taking my kid out to that one for sure. Also this week, I had a chance to see Circle Jerks and Bouncing Souls and 7 Seconds and another band I can't even remember. I was at Glass House in Pomona. I was mainly there for Bouncing Souls as well as Circle Jerks. I'm not a huge Circle Jerks fan, but they've been doing this for 40-plus years. They're kind of legendary, and so you know you always take an opportunity to see them when you can. But like I said, Bouncing Souls. I'm in the front for Bouncing Souls, singing my lungs out. I know you don't sing through your lungs, people. I'm just it's an expression. And I actually caught a guitar pick off my hand, and I was holding up my drink and like, yeah, and then the bassist throws a guitar pick and boom, right off of like, and I was like, and I'm usually I'm like, ah, whatever. I rarely get set lists. Like I have two on the wall, but one of them signed by Bite Me Bambi, and the other one is there's a real special meaning behind that. It's also my daughter's first ska show. So, but for the most part, I'm not trying to grab set lists, you know, unless there's a lot of meaning behind it or whatever. So I wasn't too worried, but I was like, you know, let me look on the ground here. And I looked around a little bit after they finished their set. And sure enough, I'm shining my phone down. And this young girl, she's probably like 19, sees the picture, yanks it up. She probably kind of knew I was looking for it. And I was like, guitar pick? She's like, yeah. And I was like, all right, so as long as somebody gets it. I just like. But the only reason I looked is I was like, all right, that bounced off my hand. The only thing better would have been if it landed like in my cup. I'd have been like, sweet, there it is. Like, that's a memory, and I'm keeping that guitar pick, you know. But I don't usually try to do that. Circle Jerks got wild. In fact, my sis Laura and I, you know, we watched a few Circle Jerks songs, and we're like, all right, we're going to go out to the outside, and good friend and fan of the podcast, Jen, she's out there. So we go out, and we're like, all right, let's go talk to Jen for a minute, and then we'll go, and we go out. And if you're familiar with Glass House, it's like all glass on that. There's this front area that's separate from where they play and where the bar is, and you can still hear the music, but there's a wall. But then it's all glass, and you can see straight out to the street, and then we're sitting, like, right by the big doors that open up. I'm like, what's going on out here? So, you know, Jen's sitting there. And I look, and there people are just going nuts, and she's like, no, look, they're fighting out there. I was like, what? There was a dude trying to get back in like crazy. I watched him throw out multiple people. Like, just, and literally one guy got thrown out. Like, I'm like, whoa. And then there was a couple, and I remember them because the guy started talking to me. He couldn't even see straight because he saw my Barstool Preacher shirt, and he's like, oh, he thought it was another band, and he's like, are you selling merch here? And I was like, no. Turned to Laura, I'm like, do you think that guy just sees a band shirt? And he's like, are you selling merch even though the band's not playing here? Because it wasn't even like a band that was playing. I'm like, dude, what? That's not how this works. He got thrown out with his either wife or girlfriend or his friend, his female friend. And she trying to talk herself, and because they were drunk, and they weren't even being super violent, they were drunk. And she's trying to talk to the security guard. And I'm watching this through the window, and I'm just cracking up. She's trying to talk to the security guard, and she's got that, like, lean. You know, you ever seen when someone's, like, really drunk, and they're trying to, like, stand, but they're like, you know. And they're leaning back so they can stay balanced. That's what she's doing. I'm like, dude, that guy is not, he's not going to let you in. He legally, I don't think you can. You're just too drunk. And then we're watching this guy and we're supposed to be leaving. And I'm like, oh no, I gotta see how some of this plays out. And the one guy literally had been thrown out like 2 hours before that. He's been outside for 2 hours. And in fact, as we're sitting there laughing, one of the security guys comes over and he must've been like the head of the crew, you know, cause he's like, oh yeah, I got my guys. And he's like, yeah. That guy, and he's wearing a white shirt, white Descendants shirt, and he goes, oh, yeah, that guy, he was a little drunk earlier, and I said, hey, buddy, why don't you just go outside, like, chill out for a minute and come back in, and he's like, I gave him every chance possible, and he's still out there, and I watched him try to push through multiple times, and a friend of his comes out who hasn't been kicked out, and he's, like, trying to reason with the security guards, like, ah, come on, and Circle Jerks is, like, literally playing, and you can hear Circle Jerks, like, outside, you can hear him outside the door, so I kind of get that he was staying there, but he's constantly... And then I see a security guard on the phone, and I'm like, oh, all right, they're calling some backup here. Sure enough, a few minutes later, police roll up, and the white-shirted guy's still out there, and he's calmed a little, but I see him, and he goes behind this U-Haul truck, which is clearly from one of the bands loading their gear, and right out front of Glass House, and I see it, and I'm like, I know exactly what he's doing right now. And he goes back there, and he starts taking a leak. The cops pull up right as he's taking a leak, shine flashlights on him. I'm like, dude. Like, you just capped it off right there. So, of course, and credit to the police, because they're, well, they, like, stayed back, and they're like, all right, let him finish put your dick away. Like, and they cuff him. He didn't want to go, but they cuff him. They arrested him. So his night didn't end well. But I'll tell you, I was thoroughly enjoying. And these security guards, good on them, man. And they were not being overly. These were guys squaring up on him and stuff. They were like, nope, nope, nope. And I'll tell you, the juxtaposition of a punk show. There's a dude in a yellow shirt that's out there. He's like smoking a cigarette and he's just dancing. And there's all these guys like, ah, testosterone, ah. And this guy's just like, smiling. It's like, you got to love punk. And I have not seen this in years. And I don't know if Circle Jerks brought out the crowd or maybe people were just getting a little wild because of the drinking, whatever it might have been, or Pomona. And maybe it's Pomona. I don't know. I've never had issues hanging out in Pomona. I've done it many, many, many times over the past 25 years, literally. But man, some entertainment. Tell you, just be careful out there, punks. It's because you don't want to get caught up in that, you know. All right, a couple more things, then we're done. I told my wife, I was like, this guy was fighting with the security guards, probably knows the police are coming, just like go find an alley or something at least. Nope, nope, just in front of big windows where everyone's sitting there having a drink. Ugh. All right, but some good news in the punk scene. Punk in the Park got announced. That's happening November 5th and 6th of 2022. I've already got my tickets. I picked up my ticket, and I will be out there in early November. So far, we know Bouncing Souls are playing, Bad Religion is playing, and there's some others that I don't have off the top of my head. Do not miss it. It was huge last year. It's going to be even bigger this year. I know Punk Rock Saves Lives is going to be out there. I'm sure Cali Vibes Records is going to be out there, and all the usual suspects, Fat Records, all that stuff. So, and I already know of multiple people flying in town for that bad boy. Luckily, already got the hotel is booked. Tickets are purchased. Going to be ready. Hitting that up in November of 2022. And Punk Rock Bowling, for those of you that didn't see the announcement, will be back in 2023. Moving back to Memorial Day 2023 out there in Vegas. So I'm hoping to be out there. But we got some time to plan. It's literally over a year away. So I'm sure plenty more announcements will be coming. It was something everyone's kind of waiting. It's like, are they going to do it in fall again? Because they did it in like September last year. And like, no, nope, just going to go back to Memorial Day. Missing 2022, back with 2023. All right, that's going to do it. Oh, I'm going to go grill some food for the family. Yeah, that's it. That is going to do it for episode 77 of Common Sense Sundays with Go Tell It to the Wall, hosted by me, your favorite podcast host, the one and only Sean O'Rourke. We should be back next week, same wall place, same wall time with episode 78. In the meantime, make sure you follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/GoTellItToTheWall, YouTube, youtube.com/GoTellItToTheWall, and of course my own personal Instagram account, which is SoCalSean, SoCalSean, at SoCalSean. And make sure you check out Sean O'Rourke Live for exclusive content on there, as well as our Patreon campaign and our merch website. All right, until next time, wall fans, common sensors, podcast consumers, remember, no matter what you do, no matter who you're with, no matter where you go, and especially no matter why you are doing it, always, always use common sense.